Open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 28 this morning, Deuteronomy chapter number 28. And today we're going to preach this morning and then touch on a little bit the idea of the election. So this will be the election message. Next week and the week following, I want to, the King James Bible is under attack by the devil, has been. The Word of God's been under attack by the devil since beginning of time, but it has been under attack of recent in an incredible way. And so I'm going to take four messages, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and just really lay out the King James Bible, why I believe it is the absolute perfect Word of God for the English-speaking people, and go through some of those details and why we reject all other English translations, versions, corruptions, however you want to say that. We have to be solid on the Word of God as a church. And if we're not solid on the Word of God, what else do you have? You ultimately have nothing. And so I want to do that. But today we're going to, and as you talk to people, encourage people to get out and vote. And I believe every Christian ought to vote. I'm not going to stand here and tell you you have to vote for this or for that. We do have a sample out on the back table of Brother Reed brought the sample in. We put it together and I filled out some ovals in there. It's just what we're doing. You can obviously do what you want to do, but I want to put some principles out there today for us to consider and to look at, and also, goes out for the radio, for anybody that's listening. Boy, we have a voice. We have an opportunity. And we ought to use that opportunity for good. We ought to use that opportunity for right and for a right direction for the country. I want you, even in a large degree, put aside the individual people and look at the policies. And we want biblical policies. But this morning, we're going to look at this. Signs of God's judgment on a nation. Signs of God's judgment on a nation. Now, I understand as we read this, this is God and the nation of Israel. And that is important to understand, but there are some things that take place here. And as I read through this and I'm looking at these are the things that God's going to do when He judges the nation of Israel or judges a nation, there are some things that we can look at, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, there's policies that lead toward or away from these judgments. If the policies of the country promote the judgments of God, it may be that the policies themselves are the judgment of God. And so we want to watch for that and be careful of that. Let's read Deuteronomy 28, verse 14 and 15. It starts with the warning. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. There are the laws and principles put in place throughout the books of the law, the books of Moses, if you will. They are put in place because God says, these are the things that I hold to. These are the laws and the principles that I put in place. The other laws and things that they see in the land that they're going to come into are things that followers of false gods put into place. And so God distinguishes the laws and the rules of a country from following Him or from following what, if you will, idolatry. And idolatry can be in many, many forms. Sometimes it's in the form of humanism. Sometimes it's in the form of blatant actual idolatry, bowing down to idols. But anything that you put before God is an idol. Verse 15 says this, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And we're going to look at some of those principles today. Father, I ask that you would help us as we look at this today. I pray again for our country. Father, I think of our country and I think of the direction that it has been going. And I look at the damage that is being done. And Father, I pray, God, if you will, have mercy upon our country. God, help us as people to try to use the voice that you have given us to turn it back toward a more right, more biblical, more moral place. God, that we may see again the blessings that you could put upon the country. Father, help us to recognize signs of judgment and help us to understand that there are certain things that we can recognize that when we turn a wrong direction and we begin to lose your blessing, these are the things that happen. God, I pray that this would help us to do and make right choices in the upcoming days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to begin with verse 21 and 27. So it says, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it." Verse 27 says, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods and with the scab and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed." And so we see this and we understand we are living in a society, we are living in a country that we are coming up with new diseases, diseases that are going along with acts of wrong and immorality. Nixon made the statement, "We will eradicate cancer." How's that going for us? Just as a country. Look, we're not going to eradicate cancer unless God chooses to help us to eradicate cancer. That's just the facts of things. We have COVID, brand new. Where did it come from? Coming up 5 years ago, something that we haven't seen anything the like of for quite some time, and it could have been far, far worse. You know, it's an interesting thing. Growing up until I was about 40 years old, I knew of one person that had gotten shingles. Now, every time I turn around, somebody's got shingles. And I don't know if it's just people I know are getting it more, or whether there's an uptick in it. As we look at this, he says, that verse 27, "The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt with emerods." Emerods is something that is going to be very specific to sodomite behavior that was in the land and in different lands that were there. And I won't go into all of the details of that, but you look at AIDS, you look at monkeypox. These things are very, very bad diseases that are connected with very bad, wicked behavior. Something that is not specifically a disease, but it's something that is severely on the uptick is autism. And autism is not something that's connected with sinful behavior in any way, but it's happening to children. And you think about all of these things, and boy, we need the blessing of God on our country. And we need to wake up and realize man will not defeat diseases unless God chooses to allow us to defeat diseases. Unless God gives wisdom to people to be able to find the answers. But the more that people go away from God Himself, the more they will lead society into absolute destruction. And the beginning of this is just God saying, look, all of these, you see what's happening in Egypt, you see what's happening here in the land, you see these diseases that are over here, these diseases that are over here, you're not immune from those things if you go away from following me. Now, I'm not saying that if you follow Christ, you're not going to face these diseases or some diseases. There's some of them that you're probably not going to face because some of them are directly connected with sins. But as a country, are we healthier than we were 80 years ago? For sure not. For sure not. Secondly, lack of direction and mental struggle. Deuteronomy 28, verse 28 through 30 and verse 65. It says, "The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save thee." Read verse 65 with me. "And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee therefore a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind." Verse 66, "And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night and have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning." Do you realize in the last 5 years, the uptick of antidepressant use is up 65%? People have no direction. Our society has lost goals. Society has become disincentivized to work hard with the idea of striving to get ahead. Part of that disincentivization comes directly from the government and people realizing it doesn't matter how hard I try. They're going to completely destroy our country. They're going to make inflation to the point where, okay, I saved up this, say a person says, oh, I saved up $10,000. Yeah, in 2020 that had that buying power, and today it has the buying power of $5,000 comparatively. Well, how's that for disincentivization? And what is that? It's all due to policy. It's due to decisions that are made on upper levels. It's not the cause of American people in general, but it is the cause of decisions that are made on the upper levels of government. And we need to understand, boy, the mental struggles, the lack of direction that we see in society today is unparamount to anything that we've seen in our country. Whoever would have dreamed that you just go down through society and ask, I mean, don't really ask, but hey, what antidepressant are you taking? What antidepressant are you taking? And person after person after person after person after person is on some form of drug because they don't like how they feel. Now, ultimately, society needs to turn to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the answer for the majority of mental struggles unless they are caused by physical damage to the brain or chemical damage to the brain. But God is the answer. But when people turn away from God, what's left? Thirdly, your sons and daughters will be given to others. I'm just going down through the verse or the chapter and getting highlights that are here. Deuteronomy 28, verse 32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and of thy labors. Oh, that's the next one. Let me just stop here for a minute. Now, we may look at it and say, well, our children are not being physically taken away from us. But I'll tell you what, people's children are being taken away from them by the school system and the medical system in our country. And we need to be aware of that and watch out for that. There was a man who he lost his son because mom and the little boy and the teachers at school and the medical system decided they wanted to turn that boy into a girl. And the dad fought against it, and he lost all rights to even see his child. Say, how in the world did that happen? Well, that literally, and that dad, I mean, you read this, and it says, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. You talk about other people, and there's a man that's quite a bit in the news today, and he says, I have no relationship with my, I think it was a son, because he wanted to be a girl. And he says, I want a relationship, but society destroyed him. And he says, I was tricked by the medical system. I was tricked. And ultimately, that man needed God and needed God's direction. It could have saved him from a lot of that back in the past, and he didn't have it at the time when he needed it. But we look at when society, people, children are like, well, I'm going to go be with somebody else because you won't go along with my desire to be something I'm not. And people are losing their children in our society. No, it's not yet at a point where another country came in and they took your kids away captive. That's not what's going on. But our children, if we're not careful, they are being taken away just by different means and methods. And we need to be very careful about that. Robert Kennedy, I saw him give a speech this week, and he said when Kamala Harris was a prosecutor, she found out that the state of California was losing money because children were not attending school, or that when they skipped school, they were losing billions of dollars, federal money. And so she decided she was going to crack down on what they referred to as truancy, and she was going to put the parents of children in jail for if the children were not in the school system. And there was a girl who had sickle cell anemia. She was in the hospital for 60 days. Obviously, she was in the hospital. She missed 60 days of school. And Kamala Harris, as prosecutor, put that woman in prison. They lost their home. She lost her job, basically lost everything. Look, the government doesn't own the children. And if a child, and the mother looks at the child and says, my child needs to be in a hospital, look, the child doesn't have to be in school if they need to be in a hospital. And we need to be aware of these things. Verse 33, Deuteronomy 28, 33 says this, the fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. So the principle is this, your work will go to support other nations. How many billions of dollars has been handed over to Ukraine? Now, we don't have to, it's not America's job to finance the world. And when that happened, now whose money went to Ukraine? Benjamin's money, Joe's money. Matthew's money, Josh's money, went to other nations. Think about this. The national debt, the amount of interest that our country gives to China on a yearly basis. Whose money is that that's going to China? Well, that's Mr. DeHamer's money. That's Justice's money. That's Brother Lane's money. And it's being used, instead of being used to fix our roads, to help our society, to help our country, let's just give this money in the form of interest to China. That is a sign of the judgment of God on our country. When the fruit of your land and of your labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. They're eating well on our money. They're building a big military on our money. And what do we have? Say, we got no say in that. Vote. Vote. Verse 39 and 40. This principle is similar. That principle was your work will go to support other nations that you don't even know and aren't concerned with. This one, your work, you will work and not enjoy the fruit of your labor. Verse 39 and 40, thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with oil, for thine olive shall cast his branch. Here basically is saying you're going to plant a harvest and you're not going to get to enjoy that harvest. Well, we don't all plant harvests today, but we work. We work with the idea that I am working for what? Now, how many of you are just working because you absolutely love your job? Brother Schrock had better have his hand up. Okay. But overall, man, I just want to go make money for somebody else. Okay. No, we go to work to make money to better whose life? Ours. That's the principle, right? Do you know when Tax Freedom Day is? April 16th. That means, in general, you work to pay taxes up until April 16th, and the rest of the money is yours for the rest of the year. That's 3.5 months that you're working and you're not getting to enjoy the fruit of your labor. You're giving it to whatever. Here's another way to visualize it. And I printed this. It says, in January, you work to pay off federal income taxes. February goes paying Social Security and Medicare and other payroll taxes, as well as state income taxes. In March, you pay state, local sales, and excise taxes, as well as property taxes. The first 16 days of April, you work to pay motor vehicle license taxes, as well as severance and estate taxes. You also pay off corporate income taxes that are passed on to you through their higher prices because the corporations get taxed. Now, doesn't that sound like a lot of fun? Go to work for 3.5 months. You know, they would make it would be more realistic if you actually went and worked and didn't get a paycheck at all for that time. I think people would wake up. Because they do it a little bit at a time and they take out a little bit at a time, people have come to tolerate it more and more and more and more and more. You know, income tax in this country started under President Taft in 1913. From 1776 to 1913, only one time in that period of time did they have an income tax, and that was during the Civil War when they did a temporary income tax in order to fund the war. Then, long 1913, and really, when the country taxed the non-citizens, and the country taxed the foreign nations, the country was really doing quite well. And then the country begins to tax its own citizens because we have to have more money. Oh, it's a dangerous thing when the government says we need more money. When you go to vote, look at who wants to give you money back and don't listen to lies. Be careful. If somebody hasn't given you tax breaks before, don't trust that they're going to now. Deuteronomy 28:43. Here's the next one. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Strangers to your country will rise above the citizens of the country. You think we might be seeing that just a little bit? Illegal immigrants put up in luxury hotels and giving thousands of dollars of spending and money. Who's paying for that? The good government's paying for that. No, who's paying for that? You are. I am. We all are, because the government has no money. The only legitimate money the government has is money that they get by taxing foreign nations. Maybe on stuff that's coming in this direction, but not, otherwise it's ours. It's our money. And you look at and think, anybody heard about the gangs taking over apartment complexes? San Antonio, Texas, Aurora, Colorado? Boy, they're getting above the citizens. God warns about this. He says this is going to happen when you go away from following God. This is a punishment. It is a judgment of God upon a country as this takes place. Special protective status being just freely, randomly given by people that get on some app and fill out status to come to the country, and then you've got policemen that won't enforce the laws because if they have a violation of the law and get a ticket, they'll lose their protective status. So policemen have been told, well, you can't ticket them. These are random things that are going on in different areas and different places of society. And you look at it and it says, the stranger that is within thee, that's a foreigner, that's an immigrant, shall get up above thee very high and thou shalt come down very low. Well, when you're going to work and they're getting to stay in a luxury hotel with your money, I'd say that fits the bill pretty good. And so we have to be aware of these things that are taking place in our society. Verse 44, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Anybody know what our debt level is right now? Probably by the end of the week, maybe the end of the month, we're going to be at $36 trillion. In this last 4 years, I think it was 2023, our debt of our country went up $3 trillion in 1 year. That's horrible. And that wasn't a COVID year. You think about that debt. I think the estimate was 200 and something thousand per working American. Pretty soon it's not sustainable. But what is that? Ultimately, it's a sign of the judgment of God. You could look at it and say it's bad policies. Well, why are the bad policies coming into place? See, when we go against God's word and God's principles as a nation, we invite these kinds of things. We have the opportunity to vote. Some of the policies that are out there right now are just, they're actually leading to all of this. Does a country have a right to enforce its borders? Absolutely. Why don't we? Ultimately, I believe that's the judgment of God. And so we want to think about that. Deuteronomy 28:54. There will be family destruction. Now here it's speaking very specifically about family destruction due to siege, battles taking place from other countries and different things like that. Verse 54 through 57. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall what? Fatherlessness in a nation where fathers have children and walk out on them is a sign of the judgment of God on a nation. A people not holding to the wife of their bosom is a sign on the judgment of God on a nation. You think that we see that in society right now? We read, continue to read verse 55, 56, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat. That's when it comes down to the point of they're starving to death, so they begin to eat their own children. By the way, this happened in Israel. You can look in the nation of Israel as you read through the Bible. Every one of these things did happen to the nation of Israel as God judged them when they failed to go with God's rules. Because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness, therewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear. At least they were still bearing them. Do you think that women in general, are they more inclined toward their children in our society or less? Can you fathom the thought of what it must be in the mind of a woman to say, I'm going to kill my child while that child is still in the womb? You know, you think about it in society in the past, you would have looked at a man as he abandoned his children. You say, wow, that's incomprehensible. What a horrible man. What a louse. Man, this guy doesn't provide. And society would look on him and, but you know what you never heard of? A woman abandoning her children. Our country is in trouble, and you look at it and say, why? Deuteronomy 25, 45 through 47 gives the answer. It says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. What happened? Our country, you look at the principles of our country, you look at the founding documents of our country, and all of our founding fathers were not necessarily Bible-believing Christians, but they believed in God. And they built documents and articles and writings on principles in the Word of God. And our country was greatly successful for a period of time while we tried to stay close to the Bible and close to biblical principles and close to biblical law and laws that were based upon biblical principles. And then comes along the 1900s, where basically so much of it was abandoned, fought against, sought to be undermined, sought to be destroyed, and we are where we're at today. We have an opportunity to vote a week from Tuesday. I'll vote on Election Day. But we have an opportunity to cast a vote. I will not vote for policies that encourage all these things that we just read. I will vote for the candidates who do not encourage all of this judgment that we see, that is basically signs of judgment upon a nation. Consider that when you go to vote. But you know, there's talk right now, and I'll deal with this a little bit more tonight, but I don't know if I should vote or not. Have you lost your mind? You live in a country that gives you an opportunity to let your voice be heard. And you're going to sit back? Somebody made the statement, well, I don't like President Trump's rhetoric. I don't either. But his policies are right. Not perfect. But they're much more not this direction that we've just looked at. And somebody said, well, I'm just going to write somebody in. If you write somebody in, it's voting for the other side. Period. You have two candidates. Don't write somebody in. They're not going to win. Writing someone in is throwing away your vote. Vote. You have questions? Ask. There's people here that have done research, looked into things. But we got to vote. And pray. And The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from whose wicked ways? Their wicked ways. Well, again, I touched it Wednesday night. All these people, oh, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they're participating in the same sins of the wicked world. God's people need to repent. God's people need to turn back to the Bible. Talk with somebody yesterday. Won't name the church, won't name the person, but like, oh, we're having problems in our church. Well, we got some of our members are sodomites. What? Now look, I want people to be saved. But when a person gets saved, they're to repent of their sin. Not stay in it. Not tout it. Not say, oh, this is, you know, you have to accept me the way I am. Nuh-uh. God said what he thought about it. You know, if God's, if the people, and I'm not even going to call them God's people, if the people that say they're God's people won't follow the Bible, what's the rest of the country supposed to do? Well, we need repentance. We need to get back to the Word of God in our country, in our churches. Let's have God's people do right. And so we need to pray. We need to vote. We need to humble ourselves. We need to turn from our own wicked ways. We need to each one make an assessment of our life. What are we doing that's anti-Bible? It may be public, it may be private, but what are we doing that's anti-Bible? If the judgment of God were based upon us individual or our church, how would we fare? We need to be aware of these things. Let's stand to our feet. Father, as we look through this, God, we saw that all these judgments took place to the nation of Israel, and God, we see them highly moving in upon our own country, literally step by step by step by step. God, I pray. God, your word says that judgment must begin at the house of God. So I pray today that you would help us to take an assessment of our lives and say, are we doing our best to live biblically? And then God, help us after we are right to get out and vote right and to let our voices be heard. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, you have something to come and pray about, I'd encourage you to come. Maybe you just want to come and pray for the country. Pray for the elections. We need God's help.